I'm talking today with Diane Troutman, who is a candidate for state representative in District 127 up in the Kingwood area. Diane, your background is in education. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Correct. Charles, I was in banking for 10 years before I went into education. Always wanted to go into education, but the salary was not enough to sustain anyone to live on. But after about 10 years in banking, I did decide. One morning, I read the Houston Chronicle, and it said Houston ISD to start the year 3,000 teachers short. And I thought, you know what, this is the time. And it also said that they wanted people with industry background and experience. So I jumped in with both feet, and I never looked back, and I'm glad that I did. I went on to get my master's, and at the same time worked at Patrick Henry Middle School and Burbank Middle School with low socioeconomic groups and different ethnic backgrounds. And I learned a lot at that time about what was missing in education, the haves and the have-nots. So I think the roots and the seeds for what I'm doing today were planted back in those days. It was truly more like missionary work than teaching sometimes. You had to make sure the children were fed, had a breakfast, had clothing, had their shots, everything else. So again, I knew that to educate kids, you've got to meet their needs first. After I got my master's, I went on to Humble High School and taught the older kids for about 7 years, and I realized some of the inequities among teachers and administrators at that time, and that administrators seemed to be more, I don't know, bogged down with paperwork than really instructional leaders. So I decided I could do it better, and I went in and got my administrator's certificate with Stephen F. Austin and my second master's, and I became an assistant principal in Conroe. I stayed there for about 3 years, and I watched my principal again as I saw them as more of a paper pusher, and they didn't really get to ever get in the classroom. We had to have more instructional leaders. I decided once again I needed to make a difference, so I took the position as principal of Tomball Junior High in another district. All of these districts varying ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds, but I was building all the while and getting this experience in all the different areas. It didn't take me too long as a principal to realize principals today in public education really face some astronomical mountains to climb. It's almost like it's set up against them. I did my best. I started out with an acceptable campus and raised it to a recognized campus in 3 years. But at that point, what I saw was, if we're going to make a difference statewide in education, I needed to move to higher ed. I could work with teachers who wanted to become principals. I could write and publish articles and books about becoming a principal and the type of background that you needed. I found that social justice was a big theme in what I wrote about and what I taught teachers who wanted to become principals. So at that point, my graduate students constantly challenging and telling them, you need to make a difference for kids. You need to speak out. You need to be a change agent. Well, they turned that challenge around on me and said, no, Dr. Troutman, we'd like to see you make a difference. And we'd like to see you make it in Austin. And I thought about it, and I thought about the last 23 years I've spent in education, and what could I say but yes, if I stood for what I'd been teaching all those years. So I did, and the adventure began, and here I am today.
All right. Well, obviously the last time the legislature was in session, it was all at least supposed to be about school finance reform, and a number of education reforms, so-called, were passed. What is your opinion of what happened in the last session?
Well, not very good, I'm afraid. As we know, start with the largest first, the Republican group passed the largest tax increase in the history of the state of Texas in the form of the business revenue tax. Now, you know, it's funny, There are two little words in the legislature that can make a big difference, and they're shall and may. If the bill says the revenue from this law shall go someplace, then it must do that, and there's no way it can be changed. If it says may go someplace, then that money can go wherever it needs to, wherever the legislature decides, i.e. the lottery. That was a may, so it can go in the general fund and be used wherever. This new business revenue tax shall go only to property tax relief. Not one penny can go to funding schools, which schools are in dire straits right now. There's a public school funding crisis, and it just seems to me that our legislature, and specifically my opponent Joe Crabb, doesn't seem to notice or care.
What do you think will need to be done going forward to address this? Do you think there is the will to undo some of to change that shall to a may, for example, mm-hmm. or to bring in new taxes? I mean, you tell me. Where do we go from here?
Well, to begin, there has to be a will in the legislature. There has to be someone else besides Diane Troutman, okay? And recently, I guess about a month ago, Scott Hochberg spoke at the Harris County Democratic Party. And I asked him specifically, I said, so where are we here? What happens in January? We've got the business revenue tax, for good or for bad. Where do we go from here? And he said, and I agree wholeheartedly, we open it up. We open up that money, for at least part of it, to go to school funding. Now that's a start, but that's not going to be enough. I believe, and if you've noticed lately in the paper, they've uncovered that the legislature is doing this anyway, robbing certain accounts that are left over, budgets that haven't been spent, or sometimes that were earmarked to be spent.
Before they can be spent.
The Texas Parks budget, for one. But there are things that we can do where money is already there. Revenue is sitting there. And I don't mean rob from anyone else. Let's look first at the business revenue tax. That's one way. Another way might be the gasoline tax. 20 cents on every gallon of gas, 15 cents goes to the highways, 5 goes to education. Can we not just bring that up to equal, if not more? Or maybe it should be revised depending on the needs. So I'm just talking about sharing here. I'm not talking about robbing from anyone else. There's also something called the farm school tax loophole. My opponent takes advantage of that. That is where landowners who have at least five or more head of cattle are exempted from paying school tax on that land. Now you might think, well, there can be very much. That's huge. And it's huge in my district. There are vast areas of just undeveloped land, and those owners are exempt. Those owners are taking advantage of our schools and our school districts.
Because they own 5 cows.
Yeah, well, whatever, yeah. And maybe it's more than that. Maybe they actually do run more. But the idea here is everybody's got to help pay for our schools. Nobody's exempt. There are no loopholes. That's got to happen. Another thing. And this gets into health care, but it is a way of getting federal dollars into our system. Under Crabb's leadership and on his term, and the legislature let approximately 200,000 children fall from the CHIPS rolls. That's money lost to our state. For every dollar spent in CHIPS, for every dollar spent on children enrolled in the CHIPS program, we get $265 back from the federal government. We are losing money. I think it was somewhere quoted as billions. That money could certainly be allocated for schools, teacher raises, retired teacher benefit raises. There are a lot of different little areas, and I'm looking from an outsider right now. I think once people get on the inside, they're going to be privy to a whole lot more information of areas that are not tapped. And I think it's vital that we do that. And of course there's the lottery. Good grief. Don't you love it how you don't hear for months, years about the lottery, and then 3 months before the election, we start hearing these commercials. We've spent $8 billion in 8 years. Well, first of all, I don't think that they have our address, because I almost started the year $3.5 million short in budget cuts, nor do they have anybody else's address. I'd like to see an itemized statement of where that $8 billion went. And in 8 years, that's not very much when you consider that every district, there's 1,050 in Texas, have made millions of dollars of budget cuts. So I'm not buying it. That leads me to another thing, which I don't know if you're ready for, but campaign reform and transparency in legislative bills is a must. One of the first things I want to do is make sure that the wording of a bill is very easy for the public to see, that may and shall. Where is that money really dedicated to go? No sleight of hand here, let's be honest. So I really, from what I've seen and what I've talked to the people, they don't even understand the property tax relief they're getting. So it's got to be more transparent. It's got to be more easily available to the public. It would be real nice to go online for the public and be able to see their legislators' voting record and attendance record.
So you would support, recorded votes?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
One more topic on education, vouchers. Republican donor James Leininger, who is probably the state's biggest supporter of vouchers, is putting up some billboards to try and drum up support for the proposal. What's your take on vouchers?
I think it's immoral what he's doing, and vouchers are only going to be a drain on public education. The billboards that he's putting up, I read yesterday, are in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods, so it's going to be a draw to them. Look, easy money, here's money, that kind of thing. We know in reality that private schools pick and choose who they want to take, and there aren't enough private schools for people to go pick wherever they want to go. That is not a fix-all for education and by any stretch of the imagination. It will create two classes in this state, and that would be the haves and the have-nots. The more money you have, the better education you get. That's not what our Texas Constitution called for. It calls for an equal and equitable opportunity for every child to be educated. Vouchers would destroy that.
Okay.
And it would be unconstitutional.
Let's change gears a little here. You are running in an area that is not known for electing Democrats. I believe Crabb got something on the order of 69% of the vote. How do you run in a district like that?
Well, very much face-to-face. Crabb has quite a bit of money stashed away there, and I'm sure he'll be using it in the next few months. I looked at his campaign reports for the primary. This is running against Joe Stunia, another Republican. He spent close to $50,000 against his own party opponent. He had about $70,000 left in the coffers as of June 30th, I'm sure probably more than that. His modus operandi is to just truly blast the neighborhoods with mailers 3 a week sometimes and the recorded messages. He will not do a face-to-face. At this time, I have three different organizations that want to sponsor a candidate forum. That's not a debate, it's simply where both candidates appear, people submit written questions, and both candidates have an opportunity to answer them. He has never attended one of those before when challenged. Right now I have one with the Humble Area Retired Teachers Association coming up in a couple of weeks. He has not responded to that yet. I have another one with the ATPE and the Humble Area PTA sponsoring it. He has not responded to that. I have another one with the Pi Mu Education Sorority sponsoring it. He has not responded to that. So I've been using the free press quite a bit. As I said, I can't match them dollar for dollar, but I will be doing a lot of face-to-face, very verbal, out front. I addressed the school board in Humble last week and just pretty much told them like it was. We had Kingwood High School, which is our banner high school, national reputation, drop from exemplary to acceptable. I said, I just want to go on record right now as saying that that rating is not the fault of the teachers, the administration, or the students. One person is to blame. Let's tell it like it is. Joe Crabb refused to fund our schools. When we have no funding and no resources, class sizes increase, quality of education decreases. Let's put the blame where it lies. And I wonder what accountability rating we should give Joe Crabb. I said that to the school board. I received a letter from Dr. Sconzo yesterday in the mail applauding me to do that.
Are you generally getting a favorable reception with your message when you knock on people's doors?
Yes, I was very worried about that at first, Charles. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to get doors slammed in my face or they simply won't be open. Just the opposite. People are asking me to come into their house, have a drink, let's talk about education. They are not asking me about immigration. They are not asking me about these trumped up issues that the Republicans have come up with. They're asking me about family, right here in our community, issues. And I know about them because I've been attending the Homeowners Association meetings. I've been attending all the community, Rotary, Kiwanis, where not once have I ever run into Joe Crabb. They know I'm there. They know I'm visible. And Republicans and Democrats alike respect that. They want an accountable and an accessible elected official.
What would you say, after education, what would you say is the top issue on the minds of the people that you're talking to?
Probably health care. Access to health care. And, you know, I guess I live in Kingwood and Umbletaska City part. It's a fairly affluent area, and you would think, sometimes both parents working, sometimes one, that everybody would have coverage. That is not the case, especially with children. I find it just immoral that we cannot have a coverage that would allow families to get medical help for their children, basic medical help, so they don't have to use the emergency rooms in hospitals and overload those. But yet that's what I'm hearing. They'll take a simple case of flu or something, a cold that's gone into pneumonia because they couldn't afford to go to the doctor. Or the policies that they had, they would have to pay too much anyway. Prescriptions as well. Something has got to be done. We are the worst state for coverage of insured children and adults in the nation. Now, I don't think that's a very good honor to have. So I would definitely work towards that and definitely work towards putting more kids on the CHIPS program.
Okay. Diane Troutman, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank
good
you,
luck
Charles.
With your campaign.
Thanks so much.